Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
High noon, Jones and Keith here on WEEI. It's a tier Tuesday. We have tiered off all the NFL teams, Pats included.
They're Super Bowl or bust, by the way.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
You can check the whole thing out at Jones and Keith, Twitter and Instagram.
Go seek those out.
Yeah.
At Jones and Keith, at Keith21, at Jones WEEI. You can find those there. We'll have a Kiefer Madness for you coming up about 45 minutes from now every Tuesday at 12:45. But right now, on Tuesday at high noon, it's a Tommy Tuesday with Tommy Curran from NBC Sports Boston. He is brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive, and by Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping and get rewarded. Tommy Curran, how are we doing this week?
Tremendous. How are you, boys?
Oh, excellent. We're doing great. We've been looking at sort of how things are shaping up in the AFC. We all got a chance to kick back and watch football this weekend with the Patriots playing on Thursday night. Do you think it was a positive weekend for the Patriots with a team like Kansas City losing, or a not-so-good weekend with a team like Denver winning and staying at least at the moment as the number one seed in the AFC?
I think it's a positive in that you didn't see anybody that really said to you, outside of Buffalo, holy crap, that team is unbeatable. And I don't know if Buffalo even said that, but you see why Josh Allen is kind of the gold standard right now in 2025. He's fairly unstoppable when he gets in a groove, and he's going to remain that way for a few more years. So, you know, we're having a lot of conversations right now about who the best quarterback in the league is at this moment, who you'd like to have for the next 5 years. I think Josh Allen still remains far and away the best quarterback. The interesting thing, I did a little exercise last night and looked at the upcoming opponents for each of the teams that the Patriots would be most in competition with. Indianapolis has every single game against a capable team. And if the low bar being Houston and Jacksonville. They're playing Jacksonville twice, Houston once. Every single game is against a good team. Denver's got four or five. Buffalo's got the Eagles. They have a litany of good teams. The Patriots have the Ravens and the Bills. So the schedule is very favorable for the Patriots, very favorable compared to these other teams who have semi-gauntlets down the stretch.
Yeah, and I wonder even how good are the Ravens. Like, I was watching some of that game this weekend, and I could maybe say, hey, it's a division game, whatever else, but just Lamar Jackson himself doesn't look right. So I know we keep saying that's one, and I even say, like, all right, even if they lose those two games, they're 13-4, but now I'm not even so sure how tough the Baltimore game is.
No, and I agree with you. You never know which Sunday you're going to get which blend of each team, Patriots included. You never know exactly what you're going to get. So, you know, Baltimore has mounted very, very little pass rush, and they can't protect. And some of that was based on the time that Lamar was out and the number of sacks taken. But, you know, Baltimore has that Achilles heel. The Achilles heel for Denver is they don't have any offensive potency at all. You know, the Achilles heel for the Bills is they cannot stop the run. And that's, to go back to the Patriots, that's one thing. How does your strength match up with the Achilles heel of an opponent? And that's one thing that I think the Patriots really would love to see develop over the last six games is a more potent running game that is getting you 4 to 5 on a regular basis and not home run runs that end up altering the overall statistics. I mean, they need to be able to line up and make four when they need it on first down, so you're in second and six instead of second and nine.
Yeah, I would look at potential Achilles heels, and the running game is one. You know, they've bogged down a little bit offensively in the red zone. Their slow starts on defense, probably another one. I do look at their defense, and I wonder how much of it I can truly believe in as like a championship caliber defense. I guess the way to define that for me would be if they had to run into Lamar and Mahomes back to back, or they had to run into Allen and Lamar back to back, or whatever combination. Is this defense good enough to take down two quarterbacks like that in a row? Do you think it's a championship caliber defense?
At this juncture, I don't think it is, just based upon the fact that they are the worst team in the league in the red zone. They're like 71% touchdowns against, which I believe is 31st in the league in the red zone. And that's against a collection of teams mostly that aren't that good. So teams get inside their 20s, they're scoring touchdowns 71% of the time, and they have yet to stop a team all season that's gotten first and 10 in a goal-to-go situation, or first and goal. They're 100% touchdown rate. So if you have a problem on first drives, which clearly the Patriots have had that, and you're down 7-0 against a good team who then gets in your red zone, it's a pretty good chance it's going to be 14-0. Now that's, doomsaying and apocalyptic talk and what ifs on a negative side, but I'm sure that they're looking at it too and saying, God, what are we doing in the red zone that's allowing these touchdowns repeatedly every time someone gets in there?
How much of that is having a first-year defensive play caller, or how much of that do you think is just on the players?
I think a lot of it's on the players. I think that, maybe some of it's on the play callers too. For instance, the touchdown that was allowed, and I'm not locking in. To me, Mr. Armchair Defensive Coordinator, They had a red zone situation a couple weeks ago where it looked like they could have played zone and passed someone off, and they didn't. Gonzalez stuck with someone, or he got caught in the wash and ended up with an open touchdown. I think it might have been against Tampa.
Is that the Abuka one? Yeah.
I think it was the Abuka one. Yep. Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Do they look at that and say, okay, that happened, so next time we do it this way? And that's the one thing about Bill Belichick teams that always was present. They would have four or five games where you're like, well, clearly this is a problem. And then they'd get in the lab and they'd fix it. So nothing is forever, I think, if you have time to spend on things as coaches. If you see an Achilles heel, you try and bolster it so that it doesn't remain an Achilles heel. Mm. So I think that would be something that you could look at. And it's probably a combo of trying to understand what these guys do best and how the communication is best down in the red zone. But that to me seems a spot that I would be leery of when I look at, is this a championship defense? You need to get off the field and settle for three sometimes inside the red zone.
Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, every Tuesday at high noon here on Jones and Keefe. Not to give you the Tommy Curran surprise question of the week, Hunter Henry style.
Yeah.
But were you surprised Milton Williams went on IR, especially based on the way Vrabel seemed to be talking about it in the aftermath of Thursday Night Football? There's like a mini bye after Thursday night. There's a bye week coming up. It didn't sound like Vrabel was talking about a guy who was going to be out for that long. Did that surprise you at all that he was placed on IR?
No, because clearly, they're not going to put their best player on IR if he's fine and dandy. I think a lot of us have had ankle sprains, and in the moment you feel like, hey, I can scoot around on this a little bit, and then an hour and a half later it's an absolute balloon and you can't put any weight on it at all. So I'm not surprised. I think just based on that real life experience that I think we've all had with ankles at different times, so I didn't look at that. I just defer. I'm not surprised. They know better than us on injuries. Certainly if your best player has an ankle that's a balloon and you want him to be good down the stretch, put him on IR, bring other guys up so that you can fill in behind him.
Travion Henderson, over the last 3 weeks, he had, it was 19 touches, then 15, then 24 in the most recent game against the Jets. Do you think that should continue even when Ramondre Stevenson comes back, or how would you use Travion Henderson the rest of the way?
I don't think it should continue when Ramondre comes back, because there's just a certain amount of plays you have on offense, and you want to divvy them up so one guy's not getting too much, especially if the strength of Ramondre is probably in between the tackles running in a way that it generally isn't for Henderson. But I do absolutely sense that Henderson is running with much, much more confidence right now and much more decisive about what he wants to do with the football when he gets it, which was coming. And you knew that he was going to, once he got used to the National Football League and regular season games, he would become more confident. But, you know, those red zone runs that he had last week were just ridiculously impressive, I thought. Both of them, one with power, a couple with power, and then one where he just stopped on a dime and left a Jets defender grasping at air.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Just shows you that he does have unique explosive skill that they haven't had in the backfield for a while.
Time for this week's Drake Take from Tom E. Curran, presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. We were talking about this earlier in the show, Tom. Joe Burrow versus Drake May could have been the matchup on the field this week. Doesn't sound like that's going to be the case. Burrow turns 29 in December. He is missing a bunch of games for the third time in his career. A lot of people are worried about Drake May missing games given his play style, but he's in his early 20s. He's an MVP candidate. If you were going to start a franchise right now, Joe Burrow or Drake May, who would you start with?
I would take the 23-year-old player who doesn't get hurt all the time in a heartbeat. And Joe Burrow's tremendous, and I love the way he plays at the ends of games and his confidence and his athletic ability, but he just gets hurt too much. And that has absolutely punctured Cincinnati's hopes season after season since their Super Bowl appearance. So I would 1,000,000% take Drake May. And when you look at the 11 games played this season, the only time the Patriots have lost are when Drake May didn't play at his best. No one has yet really beaten Drake May. I mean, the unforced errors against the Raiders and the unforced errors against Pittsburgh were kind of on him. The nature of the picks, the nature of the fumble and pick against the Raiders, those were on him. So to me, I look at his performance and say the team could be 11-0 if he didn't have two. And you're allowed to have an off game in your second season in the league, especially early in the year. But there's very few guys that I would take in the league ahead of Drake May, if any, based upon his age. Now, if you want to say, who would you take for the rest of the season to be your quarterback for a team, I'd still have a hard time, but I don't think I would be able to say Drake May over Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes based upon what we've watched over the last 6 years from both of those guys. But I don't know if anybody I would take for the combination of toughness, leadership, on-field tone, and athleticism over Drake May.
Yeah, it is amazing when you think about even the most optimistic prediction for the season and the player wasn't this. Like, even if you thought they were going to win a bunch of games, I don't think anybody thought he'd get MVP votes, let alone might win the MVP, and that's kind of where we're at 11 games in.
Yeah, I mean, I remember saying, you know, we have to do the forecast, as we all do at the beginning mm-hmm. of the season. I thought, you know, if he throws for 3,800 yards and he's 2-1 touchdown to interception, that's a great second year, because last year was 15-10. And right now, he actually has played as many games as he did. Actually, he has as many attempts right now as he did. Excuse me. He has as many plays. I think it's like 426 right now as he did through this point last year or through the entirety of 2024. So you can look at the stats, and it is apples to apples. He's played as many plays this year as he has last year, and just go apples to apples on things like average depth of target, yards per completion, and they're, you know, 40, 50% higher than they were last year. Finished the last season 15-10 with picks. I'm not positive where he is right now. It's like 5 picks.
20-5. Yeah, 20 touchdowns, 5
yeah.
picks.
Yeah. So he's 4-1, and I did not think that that was about to happen.
No. No, I mean, I don't think anybody did. And I think even some of the most optimistic like us couldn't have him much higher than like the top 20 coming into the league. And now he might be, you know, the number one quarterback at this point in the MVP race. Tom, we've spent some time today after the Monday night game last night looking at the Raiders and kind of the disaster they've become. They're 2-8. If they were 8-2, I don't know about you, but I personally would be giving Brady a lot of credit. I'd say he has some influence and some input there. I'd imagine he has influence and input when it comes to the coach and quarterback, Pete Carroll and Geno Smith. It's not going well. How much influence, how much impact do you think Tom Brady has with that ownership group in Vegas?
Well, they've stated a number of times that he's got incredible impact and influence. So anything that doesn't work, I would think visits on Brady as well. And I think that that's inevitable. Like when a team is trying to rebuild, you have to give it the latitude. And if it does rebuild quickly, like the Patriots have, you have to give them the credit. I think it's slower to dole out blame for a team that sucks after it's been sucking because you don't expect a miraculous turnaround. You're like, well, they're still trying to figure out what they want. Do they want a 73-year-old coach? Do they want a retread quarterback? What do they want to be? They're getting information right now that indicates maybe we need to go in a different direction. That's why I would have been slower to criticize the Patriots if they were on their way to an 8-9 season and Drake May was, you know, not 20-5, but 17-8 touchdowns to interceptions. I would say at that point, yeah, they're on the right track. There's still a lot of work to do. But I would be – you're slow to blame a team when it's trying to rebuild, I think, as long as you're seeing progress. The Patriots of 2024, certainly the progress was – not there. They got worse. They got more dysfunctional. And as a result, you know, that was, okay, that's a disaster. That's on them. There's no signs of life that you want to build around. So they had to make a change. But, you know, I think you also blame and look at, okay, what are they doing that did or didn't work? And I think they're getting information right now that, okay, this isn't working.
What did you think of the latest statement from Belichick Enterprises where you say, look, I know a lot of people think I'm going to take the Giants job, but fear not, I'm staying here in North Carolina.
I feel like he didn't write it.
Yeah.
Because knowing Bill as I do, he would never have misspelled waiver.
Oh, interesting.
See, that's, we're not writers, Tom.
That was
snuck
over
right by the goalie over here. I didn't see that. I
never
catch that.
Would have misspelled waiver. They had it on the waiver wire as opposed to waiver in terms of being unsure. They had WAI. No, Bill wouldn't have done that. Bill would not make that mistake.
Interesting.
Okay.
Do you think he's at North Carolina next year?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Just out of spite.
Yeah.
Yeah, just seriously. Hanging on for dear life. Yeah. Okay. Well, he's Tommy Curran. You can check out his work at NBC Sports Boston. He joins us every Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. We call it a Tommy Tuesday. Check him out on Thursday on WEEI Afternoons, and, of course, Sundays as well. Tom, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
I'll just add, too, they have shown signs of life, which would be encouraging if you're in the program and you're Bill Belichick to say it's working a little bit.
Mm.
So I think that to ignore the signs of life that they have shown over the last three or so games would be signs of life.
They may miss a bowl game when everybody gets invited to a bowl
Those
game.
Those signs went back away against Wake. But, yeah, okay.
I got you.
All right. Well, Tom, we'll talk next week. Thank you.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. You can follow him on Twitter at Tom E. Curran. Interesting stuff there. You know, the Burrow May discussion. We'll get back into it, but – that's wild. If you said in the offseason,
do you take May over Burrow?
Yeah,
please.
Like, that'd be a call we'd laugh off the line.
Correct.
And now you're sitting here, it's almost Thanksgiving, and it's like all of us are taking Drake May over Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Wild.
Pretty much.
We'll give you our answers on that, plus what other lessons the Patriots can learn from the Joe Burrow experience in Cincinnati. Yet another lost season for him. 617-779-7937. You can jump in there. We got a key for madness for you at 1245. We'll get to all of it. That was Drake May yesterday on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.